Good morning, everyone. This morning, our adult Sunday school lesson class is taken from 1 John, the first chapter, and reading through the second chapter. And this is the Sunday school lesson from the adult quarterly for August the 9th, entitled Abundant Life. So please pay attention to the reading of God's holy word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message which we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all the knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. And once again, we thank God for the reading of his holy word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we start in a new gospel, the gospel here, 1 John, from the disciple whom Jesus loved. Father, he tells us in this passage that he had the opportunity to touch him, to hear him preach and teach, and to experience his death on the cross and his resurrection. Therefore, he has the not only the knowledge, but the authority from Jesus Christ himself to write this gospel. To write this gospel about the one that he knows is true, that was sent from the Father as the light, and in him is no darkness. So, Father, this morning as we study this passage, I pray that each one of us will search our hearts and ask God to cleanse it from all its iniquity. That as we study this holy word, Father, these words might reach the inner person that we are, that inner heart that so guides us day by day. And that these words might be a beacon, a light in the darkness that surrounds us. That it might help us to live our Christian life. And I pray and ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, this morning, as we start this new study, beginning in 1 John, we are reminded that actually John nowhere in this passage names himself, but it is likely that these letters of John were written by the disciple that Jesus loved. In other words, John, the son of Zebedee. The letters were most likely written from Ephesus in probably around 80 to 85 AD. And they were primarily, most likely, been addressed to churches in that surrounding region. There were churches in which there were people that were in those churches that were denying the incarnation, and also the necessity that you have for Christ's death to atone for our sins. And some of these false teachers and their followers were breaking away from the church in the teachings that they had been given from the gospel. But then there are some that the false teaching continued to remain in the churches. But because of their denial, of the true humanity of Christ and the sinful practices that they were carrying out, they viewed the whole world as purely evil. In other words, only what happened in the spirit realm was of value, not the day-by-day things that were going on. And these false teachers were not really full-blown Gnostics. They did share a lot of their Gnostics' views, however. Now, John's epistles revisits the same points over and over again, and you notice that in reading this passage. But he's doing that, he's seeking to drive these passages and these things that he's basic points into our memories. He wants us to hear it and practice it. And so he goes over some of the same things several times in the passage. Now John here he's really reassuring the people that are going to read this that the true joy and the abundant life that can be found in a relationship with Christ simply by faith, that same Christ that John personally heard, he saw, he touched, and that shed his blood to bring about our salvation. That's what John is trying to reassure all of us that are reading this gospel today. Now, John begins by identifying Jesus as both the eternal Son of God and the incarnate Son of Man. Jesus was in the beginning, he says. It's clear that his divine nature and his identity with the Father, that he was also a real flesh and blood person. He was a person that John heard, he saw, he touched. John was an eyewitness of all these events that went on. And he had fellowship with Jesus. And that was to be invited into fellowship with both the Father and the Son. The false teachers and their followers had turned their backs on fellowship with that John, and they had left the church. They no longer believed in God and the Son being totally human. They didn't believe that. So they left the church. They left John's teachings. So John's goal then here in writing this is to enable all his readers to stand firm. Stand firm in the truth that you heard from us when we preached the gospel to you. Now, as in John's gospel, God is light. And that's in contrast, a sharp contrast, to the darkness of this world. And those who are God's followers must walk in the light because he is the light. And those that claim to have fellowship with God and yet continually walk in darkness, then they are liars. They are false teachers. They argued that what a person does with the body is irrelevant. And so sexual immorality was unimportant. That's what they were advocating. But John insists that it's only those who are walking in the light that can truly claim to have fellowship with God. Now John and the other true Christians, as well as with fellowship with God, only have their sins, remaining sins, washed away by the blood of Christ. And it's clear that walking in the light does not mean that we have sinless perfection. And we'll look at that a little further later. But as we delve into the forgiveness of sins, let's look at it as John says. And he declares that if we claim to be without sin, then we are self-deceived, and we are also deceivers of others as well. In other words, perfectionism is not a Christian doctrine. We will all continue to struggle against sin until the day that we die. And it's not until the day of Christ Jesus that God promises to complete the good work that He has begun in us. The Christian life is not a simple progression from spiritual defeat to living as a victorious Christian life that is free from all known sin. But it is a constant struggle to walk in the light while simultaneously acknowledging our ongoing sin and returning again and again to the blood of Jesus, which purifies us from sin's guilt and penalty. To have fellowship with God and with one another, we have to acknowledge our constant need of Christ. In other words, what John is saying here is, you know, we need to acknowledge our sin, our ongoing sin. And we must return again and again to ask forgiveness for that sin. Because it's only through Jesus that we can be purified from our sin's guilt and penalty. So we can't just do it one time and say, okay, well, that's done. I don't have to worry about nothing anymore. That's not true. He says that in forgiving our sins through Christ's blood, God is both faithful and He is just. He's faithful in that Christ's death fulfilled all of God's Old Testament promises to forgive His people. And he was going to do it through the suffering servant, as we found read in Isaiah. And in Genesis, when he's talking about the bruised seed of the woman. But because of his divine nature and his perfect humanity, Jesus merited the reward that we receive through him, bearing all the sins of the people on the cross. Now let me say that again. Because of his divine nature and his perfect humanity, two in one, so to speak, Jesus merited the reward that we receive through him. We can only receive that reward if we accept him. It's through him, because he bore all the sins of his people on the cross. So the risen and ascended Jesus is our advocate. And he not only offers the propitiating sacrifice, but he is the propitiating sacrifice himself. He is that sacrifice, the one that sacrificed on the cross for our sins. In other words, the sacrifice that satisfies God's wrath and restores us to true fellowship with the Father and the Son. And that is the only sacrifice that would be acceptable, is Jesus, because he led the perfect life. Now, there still continues in the world today to be strains of Christian perfectionism. And they declare with some kind of appropriate effort that Christians can achieve a state of being free from all known sin. But that is more frequently a denial of his divinity than of his humanity, really. But there are people and denominations, churches, that believe that sort of thing. Well, as far as Jesus' humanity was concerned, sometimes we ourselves fail to recognize the frustrating days that Jesus probably had as in growing up as a carpenter's son, working. And I'm sure he must have struggled with many of the routine stresses and strains of normal life. And we can easily imagine that Jesus, who was human in appearance, was more than in reality. That is an aspect of the ancient heresy with which John was dealing with. But we, in our own lack of belief sometimes, think about, well, he couldn't have been just a normal human being, but he was. He was just like you and me in his humanity. The thing about it is, Jesus took real flesh and bore our nature like us in every respect, except it was without sin. Well, let's look at a few points here. Talking about eternal life here. Eternal life is a quality of life. Eternal life is the life of joy that we were created for, lived in the presence of the God who made us for himself. It's not a duration. Hell is an eternal existence, but it's the opposite of eternal life. John says, if God is light, then we, as his children, must walk in the light. And we are to do that if we are to have a relationship with him. Because he is a holy God. And sin cannot enter into his presence. And it's not that our walking in the light fulfills any kind of conditions that would be necessary to enter into a relationship with him. It's that Jesus is the light that makes that possible. Not our light, but Jesus' light. And if we are in a relationship with God through Christ, then our whole lives are necessarily exposed to his light. It's his light that makes the difference. Now, one aspect of living in the light is being honest about the remaining darkness in our lives by confessing our sins and receiving God's forgiveness through the gospel. You see, the light exposes our darkness. And the exposure of our sin does not drive us away from God, but toward him, asking for cleansing and forgiveness. Now let me say that again. The light exposes our darkness. In other words, the exposure of our sin doesn't drive us away from God. It is to drive us toward God for cleansing and forgiveness. Just a few points from the lesson today. John begins his letter by directing attention to Christ's divinity, his incarnation, his saving death, intercessory ministry. He talks about that. He said that God is light and Christ is the way. And he also says he was from the beginning. And that refers to the pre-dawn of time. In other words, before the foundation of the world. In other words, John is pointing to Christ's pre-existence. That's what he's doing. Now, when he talks about life eternal, he's referring to the nature and the quality of life in fellowship with God. And that's revealed primarily in the life of Christ. But then it is experienced in a secondary manner by us Christians. And John is really moved in this passage to proclaim what he's witnessed. And really the purpose, I guess, of this proclamation, it's not just forgiveness of people's sins, but it goes further than that. It's far richer than that. Because the gospel message binds together all those who receive it, so that we too may have fellowship with us. All Christians can have fellowship with one another. But yet, the purpose is probably even still richer than most human fellowship, because believers' fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. So it's even greater than we even realize sometimes. And John says, I'm writing so that, he says. And that's one of 1 John's stated purposes. He's writing, he says, to promote joy. And why? Because Jesus promoted joy. So he's writing to promote joy among the believers. God's nature in human sin. He talks about this. He said, God is light. And of course, light symbolizes knowledge and purity. John's writing really flows from the reality of God in His spiritual perfection, moral excellence, and utter transcendence. In other words, His light. That's what His light shows us. Spiritual perfection, moral excellence, and utter transcendence. Now, if God is light, then those who walk in darkness are not walking with God. No matter what they say, that's not what's happening. He says to walk in the light means to reflect God's perfection. Thought this was interesting. When Christians walk in the light, their lives will be known. And it will not contain hidden sins, falsehoods, or deception. So walking in the light is to reflect God's perfection. I like that. He says here, when he talks about you who have no sin, if you say that, you deceive yourselves. And actually, the devil probably contributes to human straying, as we all know. But in the end, each individual bears the responsibility for his or her sins. You know, people say the devil made me do it. No. The devil give you something to work with, but you're the one that committed the sin, and you're the one that is responsible for that sin. And therefore, Christians must confess their sins. We do that initially to receive salvation. But then following that, we do it to maintain fellowship with God and with one another. So it's important that we confess our sins constantly, daily. Yet, John also makes it clear that persistence, unrepented sin is not the mark of a Christian. We need to remember that. Persistent, unrepented sin is not the mark of a Christian. So evaluate yourself. You know, a person may have heard and they may have assented to the gospel message, but until it brings that person to acknowledge his sin, it has not taken root. In other words, you can hear that message, but if you have not acknowledged that you are a sinner, then that message has not taken root in your life. Jesus is an advocate. He takes up the cause of us as believers, and he does it in the presence of God the Father. How important could that be? And one of the last things he mentions here in this passage is propitiation. And it means a sacrifice that bears God's wrath and turns it to favor. In other words, as the perfect sacrifice for sin, Jesus turns away God's wrath. For the sins of the whole world, as it says here, doesn't mean that every person will be saved. Because John is clear that forgiveness of sins comes only to those who repent and believe the gospel. So, as he said earlier, yes, he said Christ died for the whole world. Well, it doesn't mean that every person will be saved. Because that forgiveness of sins only comes to those who repent and believe the gospel. So just because someone hears the word, and if it doesn't take root, then they will continue to live in darkness, and they will hate the light. What a lesson that we have heard this morning, proclaimed from John's gospel, a message of light, but also a message of abundant life that can be ours through Christ, even today, as we live in a world that is filled with darkness. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for this great passage. Father, John relates things that are so true in all of our lives. We have been there. We have done that. But Father, we have accepted Christ as our Savior. And that light that shines through Him from God has changed the way we live in this world. Yes, we are sinners. We will continue to be sinners until the day that Jesus comes back again. At what time there will be no more sin. It will be taken away. But Father, as we live through our daily lives, every day, we must continually come before you, asking for forgiveness and mercy for the sinful things that we have done. And we claim the promise that Jesus' blood and His righteousness will turn away the wrath that we deserve for those sins. And we are forgiven because of Him and what He did for us. We thank you in His precious name and for His sake. Amen.